Mike, how are you?
Tony, I am doing very well, sir. How about yourself?
You know what? Most politicians would like to be in your shoes because you are expected to win in a landslide. So where others are going to be killing themselves and sweating bullets, you're going to, looks like, get another term.
Well, I never take anything for granted. We've been doing lots of campaigning, meeting lots of folks, talking to them, giving them a chance to ask questions and do all the things you're supposed to do. Does it look good? Yes, it does. And does it look like we're going to win? Absolutely, but not because we haven't, I think, done good policy over the last couple years that allows people to have the faith and confidence to send us back for another two.
Yesterday, when I was thinking about the questions I was going to ask you this morning, something kept echoing in my brain, and it's a conversation that we had and how you have had to make some votes that personally you didn't like, but you thought that they were for the good of the state of Michigan, and they were strongly supported by Democrats. And it seems like a lot of politicians have challenges with that and maybe go against what would be best for their states because they think that they need to go with their own personal choice. How do you weigh that battle?
Well, it's always difficult. I think you have a set of principles and things that you know that are personal convictions and moral convictions you can't go against. But then there are those things where you may have philosophical differences with the issue, but at the end of the day, if it's what's best for the people that you represent, you have to weigh every bill on every occasion and kind of come to that conclusion. It's hopefully at the end of the day you make that right decision and you do it within the confines of who you are and what your philosophy is and what you sell to the voters who you are, and I have found that using that and just being very honest and upfront with people has been just really the best policy about coming to the right conclusion and having people feel confident that I'm making the decisions that more often than not that they would make if they were in Congress.
Do you get grief from and do you lose support from the Republican base and perhaps more conservative folks who believe that government should leave well enough alone?
Well, I mean, in this business, you find that you're not going to make everybody happy on every vote, and it's just you have to understand that going into it. And again, if you go in thinking I'm going to do the best policy that not only helps us today, but for the next generation, I think you'll find you'll make the right decision, even at the time it's not popular. Sometimes down the road it can be. So I just try to use that matrix. It's worked well for me. Sometimes voters are mad at you. Sometimes they're with you. Sometimes they're ambivalent, and it's up to you. I mean, they send you there to do all the hard details, read the bills, go through all the details, find out what all the implications are, not what just the talking points are. And you have to make some hard decisions. And I'm pretty open and accessible, and talk about those hard decisions often. And I'll let people know why I voted the way I did. So, are there people disappointed sometimes? I'm sure there are. And are there people ecstatic sometimes? I'm sure there are. But as I said, you just try to measure it out and temper it and take the issue and what you believe it's going to have the long-term impacts on the people who are who send me to Washington to vote for them.
In the elections in November in 2008, the Democrats stressed the need for change, and they gained the presidency and control, more control of Congress. And now here we go 2 years later, we hear the Republicans saying that there is a need for change. We hear the Tea Parties saying that there is a need for change, and it seems like we're back where we started. We need change is what's being echoed, but yet I think what we need here in this state from what we hear is jobs and less taxes, and here we go again.
Well, here's what this is Mike Rogers' opinion on this, but I think the call in 2008 was, hey, listen, we need to change Washington. And I think what they saw with Nancy Pelosi and others, they took that in a different way and thought that we need to change America, the way America works. And I think what they miss, I think they misread the American populace about what they were looking for. Because it's been a very radical shift when you talk about the health care bill that takes over one-sixth of the economy and nationalizing student loans and all of the things in the cap-and-trade bill that would be absolutely devastating for our manufacturing sector. So when you take a state like Michigan, you look at it and go, that's really, appreciate your effort, that's not exactly where we want it to go. And I think that's what you're seeing. I think Americans are saying, hey, we need to pull back to the center here and so that we can get our economies running, get out of the way of the small business community, and let the best government program you all can come up with is getting out of the way and letting a private business hire somebody. And that's where I think you're seeing the electorate kind of rallying around that particular issue. And I think they are shocked, and I do lots of coffees, talk to a lot of people, shocked at the amount of spending that this federal government has accumulated. And the debt and the deficit, I think, is dangerous to the long-term financial and national security health of the United States.
Congressman, are you considering a run for the Senate in the next election?
I've got 5 days to worry about running for the House, Tony. You're pretty good. But my concern is to get through next Tuesday and see if we can't put some policies together to get people back to work. I always argue my job is to not worry about my next job, is to worry about the people I represent's next job. So that's what I'm going to do.
We're talking with Congressman Mike Rogers on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Mike, we've heard about the investment that GM is going to be making in Lansing. As a matter of fact, there is a press conference today. Also, the MEDC has announced a menagerie of investment in jobs, including by Ford and Chrysler. We see all these jobs and investment, yet Michigan is the second worst state when it comes to unemployment rates. When are some of these jobs going to take effect?
Well, the new small car is coming, and I think probably within 12 months you'll start seeing the build up. And here's the good news: when you get, and this is has been my call for years by people who wanted to walk away from the automobile industry and say, "Well, we're going to a knowledge based economy, we're going to a green economy." Manufacturing is where the middle class bread and butter is, and the direct loss of manufacturing jobs in Michigan has cost us about $1,000 per family per month in median income. That's the difference. So what this job means, you get 600 of these jobs, it has a multiple factor, and some say 10, so if we say 5, you can have another 3,000 jobs here in this area because of those 600 manufacturing jobs. So they're going to take effect within the next, hopefully, 12, 18 to 24 months where it gets full up and full into swing. And we're going to sell a lot of cars in America, and we should have never turned our back on manufacturing in this state and being competitive in manufacturing in this state so that we could be a part of what is going to be a growing car business in the future. You know, we're down to 8 million units across the country. We're going to be up to 11 and 12 million units. We need to be a part of that.
Congressman, when you head back to Washington, D.C. For the rest of this term, and then I want you to kind of look into January, what's going to be on the agenda? What's going to get done in the rest of 2010, and what do you think is going to be at the top of your agenda for 2011?
Well, 2010, I hope they don't, there are some rumors that they're going to try to push through cap and trade, which I think is a disaster for this country. It's not good for the environment at the end of the day. It is good for Wall Street and the government. There are only two winners in that equation, and we're going to pay a lot more for our energy bills. And they keep talking about doing it. I hope that doesn't happen. I will work very hard to defeat that. The last thing we all need in mid-Michigan is for our utility rates to go up to very serious numbers. Hopefully we'll be working out something of a positive note the last couple months and not end up fighting until January to get anything done. After that, we absolutely have to make sure that, right now there's a scheduled tax increase December 31st. Everybody that pays taxes is going up, and we need to make sure that stops. In a fragile economy like this, it's the wrong time to take money out of everybody's pocket and send it to Washington, D.C., and we've got to make sure that gets turned around. And I hope we can finally come to a more moderate approach on health care. There are absolutely some things that we can do to reduce prices. And what we've seen from the health care bill is You know, the average increase now is over 30% just the first year alone. 30%, I mean, it's just unsustainable. And the number one reason people can't get health care is cost. And this thing is driving costs through the roof. So what we need to do is untwine that thing and then come back with things that we know will put pressure on prices. If we do those kind of things, put certainty back in the economy so that businesses can invest in themselves, we're going to get people back to work.
Congressman, just a couple more questions. We know that you're a part of a bill that targets Chinese currency manipulation.
Yes.
Tell our listeners why this is such a serious problem and why we need to attack it.
Yeah, what it is the Chinese, the dollar, the U.S. dollar is kind of the gold standard around the world, and so people trade against it. And sometimes our dollar is valued beneath another country's currency, and sometimes it's over. Well, what the Chinese did is they pegged artificially. They said, well, if the dollar is worth 80 cents in the U.S. in the world market, we're going to make ours worth 60. And so if it's a dollar, it's 80, and if it's a dollar 20, it's a dollar. And so what they did by that is artificially make themselves more competitive, because if you can imagine, if I'm buying something at 80 cents of the value, I can buy it cheaper. And so it's been devastating to our manufacturers here in this country. And my argument is they need to play fair. You know, you want to get into play the world and you want to get into manufacturing and other things, you have to play by the same rules. We'll beat you if we play by the same rules. But if you cheat, we lose jobs, and that's exactly what's happened. We have lost tons of jobs to this artificial competition. So what I did back in 2003 is put in a bill that said, listen, if you continue to do this, we're going to have something called a countervailing duty. So if you cheat by 20 cents on the dollar, then there's going to be a tariff on that particular good that makes up the difference of that 20 cents. And so when it came across the border in the United States, they'd pay a 20% tariff on that particular good. So that's we have to deal with this. We have to get China to comply, because right now they're an export economy. They make money by selling us stuff in the rest of the world. When they become a consumer economy, which will happen in probably 20 or 25 years, that means we have less leverage on them. So we have to fix it now. And I think it's incredibly important if we want to be competitive and still build things in the United States.
Congressman Patrick Heller, who owns a coin service, for months and months and months has been telling us about the manipulation of the silver market. And recently, the commissioner of the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission made some comments about this. Do you know anything about this?
I really don't. It's good. You gave me a good homework today, Tony. I'm going to go back and figure out what he's talking about.
And then finally, we want to allow you the opportunity to plug a World War II veteran who you were able to honor with a prestigious medal.
Well, you know, there are great people who do great things. And back then, the folks after World War II just packed up and went home. They didn't stop and wait for their medals. And today I'm going to present some medals to Eugene Richardson for his service to his country. He packed it up. He went home. He didn't worry about getting the medals. And I have to tell you why it's so important, because medals are earned. They're not won. A lot of times we say they won the medal. These are earned medals from people who went through a lot in defense of their country. And so when these medals are presented, it's not just for the soldier himself or the Marine himself or the sailor himself or herself. It's also for the community and their family to understand the service and sacrifice of keeping us free. So I am very, very honored today. I'll be presenting Mr. Richardson of Howell, Michigan, his World War II family medals that he has earned. And he was a sailor, and he had rescued folks from drownings and shipwrecks and other perils of the water, and he risked his own life to do it. So this is a great opportunity, I think, for all of us to pause a minute and say we wouldn't have nearly what we have today if it weren't for great people like Mr. Richardson.
Congressman, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.